This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are few emotions stronger and stranger than disgust. Revulsion is what kept early humans from eating spoiled meat or snuggling up to people covered with oozing sores. Today, some cultures prize cheese writhing with maggots or drink liquor made from fermented saliva. We're not trying to trick you into thinking, ew, but just trying to evoke the visceral nature of disgust, which, as Rachel Herz found, is powerful enough to convict suspects, incite genocide, and make us writhe or retch within seconds. Rachel Herz is an instructor at Brown University specializing in the psychology of smell and emotion and author of the book That's Disgusting, Unraveling the Mysteries of Repulsion. I spoke with her last year when the book was first published. It's now available in paperback. Rachel, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. Thank you for having me.
Well, one thing in your bio really jumped up. You served as a smell consultant to multinational companies and expert witness in court cases. My first question is, huh? And secondly, how's this related to disgust?
It isn't really initially related to disgust. It may change now that this book has come out. But in any case, I am reasonably well known in the circuits of those who make smell-based products. That includes anything from fine fragrances to laundry detergent. And also get called in when there is a legal battle where smell is involved. And this can range from anything from someone losing their sense of smell and trying to convince the insurance company it's not the equivalent of losing their little pinky toe, or something more major, which actually does hinge on disgust a little bit. And that is when someone or a group of people are complaining about an environmental odor, when in fact, what I've found when I've been an expert witness in these cases is that there is no odor actually there. And it's just because the emotion the person feels or the group feels towards the facility that they think is producing the smell creates the expectation, as well as usually visual signals like a factory with a smokestack mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Well, the strength of emotion here is big. You write that of the six basic emotions of happiness, sadness, anger, fear, and surprise, revulsion is the only one unique to the human species and the only one that has to be learned. So what is going on in the brain when we are disgusted?
First of all, every healthy human has the capacity to become disgusted, but we have to learn to turn that mechanism on. Young children don't show any disgust. The first lesson almost all kids learn is toilet training, and that's when feces first become disgusting, and then other things pile on from there. But children who have been raised in the wild, you know, the so-called feral child, it doesn't seem that they show any disgust even when they're found as adolescents. Although the brain is definitely involved in switching it on, and it has a dedicated area called the anterior insula, it's also really highly dependent on experience and learning and culture.
These are also the areas of the brain that are incited, I guess, or activated with disgust, incidentally, also stimulated by lust. What do you make of that?
Well, this part of the brain is actually stimulated by quite a few things. Taste is, in fact, another sensation that's highly stimulated by the anterior insula. If you put quinine on a newborn's tongue, she will make a grimace that looks just like you would look if I said, could you please hold your neighbor's dirty denture? So other animals have distaste in that they will spit out food that tastes bad, specifically bitter, because bitter is often a signal for poison, and so we shouldn't be consuming it. But in the lust dimension, it's also the case that this part of the brain controls a lot of things having to do with the body. So lust, addiction, empathy, a sense of your own self in place. It's very impulsive. I think Freud would have called it where the id resides, because it's all about sort of wants and needs and hates and stuff like that.
And the registering of disgust is extremely idiosyncratic, as you said. You know, it's different between cultures. But in the extreme, it manifests as OCD. On the other end of the scale, the insensitivity to personal revulsion found in people with Huntington's disease is something you write about. Tell us more about this.
Well, this was, in fact, the little nugget that first got me really fascinated and disgusted, and this was about 15 years ago. A group of patients with a particular neurological disorder had this bizarre inability to recognize what someone making a disgusted face was feeling, and even to really understand why you wouldn't want to be eating a bowl of earthworms. The idea that this group of people have this deficit led to the discovery that in addition to the anterior insula, right next to that is an area of the brain that controls body movements And that's called the basal ganglia, and that's actually what's degenerating in Huntington's disease. And that's what first led to the discovery that, you know, a specific part of the brain could be pinpointed that's involved with disgust.
We're talking about the mysterious emotion of disgust and what makes people, some people, disgusted, and others, well, in some cases, hungry. Rachel Herz is with us. She's an expert on the psychology of odor and author of the book That's Disgusting, Unraveling the Mysteries of Repulsion. Rachel, our producer, Taylor Quimby, took a walk around our office here to find out what some people find gag-worthy.
When all the dishes are left in the sink and all the food sits at the bottom of the sink and then it keeps piling up and at the bottom of the sink ends up being this weird gelatinous mixture of food and yogurt and fat, it's disgusting.
Boogers or nose picking is disgusts me to no end.
I love my baby. It's a disclaimer. I love my baby. But he is disgusting.
Dirty bathrooms and dirty microwaves.
I think restrooms can get pretty repulsive at times.
Cleaning out the grease trap in a restaurant grill.
People throwing cigarette butts out of the car window. This just happened this morning. Someone driving in the opposite direction of me threw their cigarette butt out, and it actually landed on the car in front of me.
Wet cat food, because it smells nasty, and then the cats hover over their bowl, and they just slurp it up.
Yeah, that sounds gross.
A lot of these, Rachel, are something that looks disgusting. So that's a fascinating aspect of disgust. If it looks like it might be disgusting, it must be disgusting.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting because although my expertise is in the sense of smell, smell is really not the primary sense involved with disgust. It really is vision. And you can even get things that are perfectly good, for instance, a piece of chocolate that you would otherwise really want to have, but if it's formed into the shape of a piece of feces, people are instantly repulsed by it and they won't eat it even though they know that this is delicious chocolate that they would have wanted if it was in a square form. This is because disgust is literally contagious. You can sort of catch other people's disgust. We become disgusted very easily. We're highly suggestible with respect to disgust. I also thought it was interesting that a lot of the comments people made referred to animalistic type behaviors or uncouth behaviors. Mm-hmm. This is because one of the key aspects of disgust is trying to deny our true animal nature, because our true animal nature also belies the unfortunate fact that we, just like other animals, are going to be squished one day and die. And this is really sort of a fundamental feature of the emotion of disgust, our avoidance of death. We have all these codes and rules for behaving like civilized people, and we sort of exalt human behavior. So even in the context of sex, you know, humans make love. They don't have sex like animals do.
Rachel Herz, an instructor at Brown University specializing in the psychology of smell and emotion. We do have more on her book, That's Disgusting, at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up after the break, the author of a new novel tells us about her stint as literary editor for Playboy. More on Life at a Magazine, where Margaret Atwood and Kendra Wilkinson coexist, when Word of Mouth continues.